Who can remember what the theme of our Advent is this year? There's a test for you all.
Coming back to the heart of Christmas.
Thank you, Leslie. Coming back to the heart of Christmas. Thank you. And last week our focus was hearts broken. This week our theme is hearts open. So if you weren't here last week, each week we are going to sing the chorus of coming back to the heart of worship, but we're going to change the words to coming back to the heart of Christmas. We're going to remain seated, and then once we've sung, Jill and Jane are going to come and light our Advent candles. So let's sing coming back to the heart of Christmas.
At the heart of Christmas is Jesus, who came to heal broken hearts. At the heart of Christmas is Jesus, who came to open hearts.
We're going to sing our first hymn together, and this is a hymn that reminds us, actually asks us the question, at this time of Advent and as we prepare for Christmas, will our hearts be open to him? When he comes, who will make him welcome? So we sing, long ago, prophets knew.
Thank you.
Good morning, church. Good to see you. So I don't know if you'll agree with me. I think you probably will. We have an amazing, amazing God. You agree?
Yeah.
And we're going to spend some time this morning thinking about words that describe God, what we think about God. When we think about God, what does our hearts feel like? What do our hearts feel like? So feel free to shout out some words that describe God, how your heart feels when you think about God. And let's let God know that today. So feel free to share.
Love.
Yes. Love.
Whoa.
Yes.
Hope.
Hope.
Comfort.
Challenge.
Sorry.
Challenge.
Challenge. Yeah.
Peace.
Peace. Anyone?
Amazing.
Amazing.
Belief that he's in charge.
Yes.
Listening.
Powerful.
Healing.
Healing.
Oh, yeah.
Strong.
Strong, yes.
Brave.
Brave.
Powerful.
Powerful. And I think someone said patient. Is that right? Yes, patient. How, what else do we think about our amazing God? Or how do your hearts feel when you think about God?
Yeah.
Warm.
Happy.
Grateful.
Sorry?
Grateful.
Grateful. Did you say love? Yeah, love.
Full.
Thankful. Brilliant. And I'm sure we can probably think of so many other words. So I'm just going to finish with a prayer for us. So let's pray. God, you are all of those things that we have said today and so much more. We worship you and we praise you and we thank you for all that you are and for all that you do for us. This Advent, would you open our hearts to know you more? So that we can be closer to you and that then we can go out and share your love with the world. And let's finish with a big roly-poly amen. Are you ready? Amen! Great.
Thank you, Charlotte. So we're going to now, as a congregation, we're going to separate. And the young people and children will come back in then and join us again for communion. So we're going to separate now, and let's just say a quick prayer before you go. Loving God, thank you for this time and this opportunity, and bless us as we stay here in church, and bless the children and young people as they learn more about you today and as we learn more about you here. We pray all this, Lord, in your loving name. Amen. See you soon. So we're going to hear two readings now, and I know, they are Christmas readings. They're not really Advent readings, they're readings from part of the Christmas story. But because we're thinking about coming back to the heart of Christmas, we wanted to think about the Christmas story during Advent. So Corinne is going to read our two readings, and both of these are really the Annunciation. There's the Annunciation to Mary about the birth of Jesus, but then sometimes a story we don't always hear is the story of the angel coming to Joseph and also telling him about the story of Jesus' birth. So we're going to hear those two passages, first from Luke and then from Matthew.
So our first reading is taken from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. Just apologise, my voice is a bit dodgy. The birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, who was a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." And then the angel left her. Our second reading is taken from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. Joseph accepts Jesus as his son. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Thanks be to the Lord for reading from his word.
The Christmas story is preposterous. Now, before you shoot me down, it is to a lot of people. In a Guardian article back in 2017, the writer says, "Of course, the Christmas story is a fairy tale. There's a magic star and magical beings. There's a magic child born in magical circumstances. There's an evil king, a couple of epic journeys, and a colourful supporting cast of refined mystics and rugged shepherds. No one takes the Christmas story seriously, right?" In Christianity magazine, one writer said, "The Christmas story is full of improbable things, which is why so many people don't believe it." And then someone wrote in their blog on the internet, "These are the three reasons why I don't believe Christmas. 1, Jesus didn't really exist. 2, the Gospels were written too late to be credible. And 3, the virgin birth is a myth." The Christmas story is preposterous, or so many people think. And actually, if we think about it, it really is, isn't it? It's actually quite fantastical. It's a story about angels speaking to people. about a young child getting pregnant without human relations, about a baby being God, born in human form, come to save the world. I mean, come on. It's preposterous, isn't it? It's fantastical. It's unbelievable on so many levels. And actually, if you think about the two characters in our Bible readings today, they didn't believe it at first. Mary, a young girl of about 14, betrothed to Joseph, and betrothal was much more of a commitment than just an engagement. And a betrothal could only be broken through death or through divorce. So there was a very strong commitment between the two of them. She was a devout Jewish girl. She would have known and heard of the stories of a Messiah, a saviour who was to come. And she was one of the many generations of people who had been waiting and waiting and waiting. Many of them, as we said last week, with their hearts broken. And then one day, as Mary was going about her ordinary business, an angel appeared to her and says that she's going to have a child that she is to call Jesus. And the angel says, "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." Does Mary say, "Oh, yeah, of course, right then, absolutely"? She doesn't. She is troubled by the greeting. Her first response is one of doubt and uncertainty and actually incredulity. And she says, "How will this be? How will this be?" And yes, Mary, that's a good question. How will this be? As she says in the passage, she's a virgin. And of course, then we come to Joseph. And Joseph didn't believe it at first either. So Mary is pregnant. She must have told Joseph about the visit of the angel, about being highly favoured by God. But it was so unbelievable and preposterous that Joseph just couldn't believe it. So he decides that he is going to break off their commitment. And he's going to do that very carefully and very sensitively, because he's a righteous man. But he's actually going to divorce Mary. So he doesn't say, "Oh, woohoo, Mary, yes, of course, that's great, let's do it, this is brilliant." At first, he doubts and he disbelieves. So they both doubt, they both question. They initially dismiss it, they can't take it in. It doesn't seem possible or rational or believable. But of course, that's what God wanted. God wanted a story that would grab our attention. God wanted a story that was spectacular and incredible and amazing. God wanted a story that was out of this world and beyond any human experience. God had to do something amazing to show that this child that was going to be born was no ordinary child. No ordinary king or ruler, but that was actually the fulfillment of all God's promises for all time. God's saving purposes were not going to be carried out in a predictable and rational or explainable way. So what better way than through an ordinary girl and by the power of the Holy Spirit, showing that this was not a human act, but was an act of divine power and will. Jesus is not just the promised one. Jesus is the very presence of God. And therefore, of course, he needs angels, doesn't he? He needs those angels, especially as they come announcing to the shepherds, singing glory to God in the highest. He needed angels. He needed that colourful cast of characters. He needed that mystical star, and he needed a virgin birth. God wanted the story to be so unbelievable that somehow it's believable. He wanted his coming to be a matter of the heart and not of the head. He wanted us to believe by faith and not by proof. In that Guardian article that I mentioned at the beginning, it said, in these post-enlightenment times, anything that sits outside a rationalist understanding of the world can all too easily be dismissed. Our fact-based culture is so terrified by anything mysterious or inexplicable. It's not true for everyone. Lots of people are kind of interested in ghosts and aliens and all sorts of other mysterious things. But a lot of people actually can't believe it because it's not explainable. And yet, despite that Christmas story, our Christmas story, being mysterious and somehow inexplicable, for over 2 millennia, people have opened their hearts to the Christmas story. In the end, Mary and Joseph opened their hearts and they believed. It took an angel to reassure them, but in the end, Mary said, I am the Lord's servant. And Joseph changed his mind and decided to honour his commitment to Mary once the angel came to him in the dream. Their hearts were open. They believed. They trusted. And they agreed to be part of God's saving plan for humanity. So despite the fact that it was preposterous, they were in. They were on board. How will our hearts be opened this Christmas? As we come back to the heart of Christmas, will our hearts be open to the Christmas story? And will we believe? As we come back to the heart of Christmas, will we hear the story with renewed ears, see it with new eyes, respond in new ways? Will we open our hearts to the incredulity of this unexplainable event of divine power and grace? Will we be prepared to say yes to being the Lord's servants and to fulfilling his plan? Will we, like Mary and Joseph, this Christmas, respond and trust? Will we, for the first or for the 101st time, agree, like them, to being part of God's saving plan for humanity? Because that's what the Christmas story is all about, and that's what he invites us to do and to be. To not just hear the story, but to be part of the story, and to be part of his saving plan for humanity. This Christmas, are we in? Are we on board? In the Guardian article I mentioned at the beginning, which I was quite hopeful when I finally read to the end, even though at the beginning he says, no one takes the Christmas story seriously, right? Well, he then goes on to say, well, they should. We all should. And he finishes by saying, and we should do so despite all the magic and the mysticism and the woo, not because of it. So we should take it seriously, not despite all the magic and mysticism and woo, but because of it. Finally, he says this. So let's try to take a generous, open-hearted approach to the Christmas story, preposterousness and all. Let's try to take a generous, open-hearted approach to the Christmas story, preposterousness and all. Amen. Going to sing the song that's based on Mary's words, that wonderful song of praise, of when she believed, she could not help but burst into song of praise to God for his goodness and his faithfulness to the generations that have passed, but also to the generations that are to come. So perhaps this morning we can also burst into a song of praise as we think and believe in the Christmas story. So we're going to sing 186 in Singing the Faith, "Tell out my soul the greatness of the Lord, unnumbered blessings give my spirit voice, tender to me the promise of his word, in God my Saviour shall my heart rejoice." Into a time of prayer, and I'm going to use some lines from Christmas songs and carols. You may recognise all of them, you may not know some of them, but I'm just going to use a line and then we'll pray, and then there'll be a time of quiet to bring our own prayers before God. So let's pray. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for thee. We pray for ourselves this Christmas, that in the midst of our grief, our sorrow, our disbelief, our doubt, our stress, our worry, our anxiety over COVID, and all the other Christmas priorities, we pray that in the midst we might open our hearts to you, Jesus. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for thee. When he comes, who will make him welcome? We pray for our church and for other Christian churches this Advent and Christmas season. We pray that in the midst of our busyness, we would welcome you, Lord Jesus, so that you are at the heart of all we are and all we do. We also pray that we would welcome others, those who connect with faith at this time of year, people we will see and share with during this festive season, those who need hope and light. Jesus comes. Jesus comes. We will make him welcome. Hope of the world, Mary's child, you're coming soon to reign. King of the earth, Mary's child, walk in our streets again. We pray for our family and friends and neighbours, for our communities, for society and for the world in which we live. We pray for open hearts to the Christmas message, for lives changed and minds transformed, and for the dark influences of this world to be overturned. We hold a moment of silence in memory of Arthur Lobinho Hughes, whose life was so brutally taken from him. In a time of quiet, we also remember John Miller, who is in intensive care, and also those who will find this Christmas particularly difficult. Hope of the world, Mary's child, you're coming soon to reign. King of the earth, Mary's child, walk in our streets again. And finally, we're coming back to the heart of Christmas, and it's all about you, Jesus. We're sorry, Lord, for the thing we've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. So in a moment of quiet, we bring our prayers of confession before God. We're coming back to the heart of Christmas, and it's all about you, Jesus. And so as we conclude our time of prayer, we say the traditional words of the Lord's Prayer together. Let's pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
So we're going to prepare now to share around the Lord's table. And when we When we share in the bread and the wine, we will continue to bring the bread and the wine to you. I invite you just to hold the bread and hold the wine, and then we'll share together. If you'd like to just let the wine, bread and the wine pass you by, then please just let the stewards know. So we're going to prepare for communion. We're going to sing, Light of the World, You Step Down into Darkness. A reminder, what is at the heart of the Christmas? The God who stepped down to be with us and to be among us. So let's stand and sing. Some sheets if you would prefer them, and the words are in bold are the ones that we in yellow are the ones that we will say together. And we are reminded that God's saving plan for humanity was not just his birth but also his death and his resurrection and ascension. So Bethlehem is a long way away, and Jesus born a long time ago, but Jesus was born for us. He is with us still. Jesus invites us to meet him at this table. As shepherds came to the stable to celebrate the birth of a saviour, we come to worship. All who come in fear or in need, all who come in wonder and in hope, all who come in love and in joy are welcome here. As we come, we bring to the table symbols of our lives offered in thanks. Here is bread. Here is wine. Here are gifts from our resources offered in a number of ways. As wise men bought gifts to praise the new king, these are our gifts offered in adoration and praise. Would you like to take a seat? So God of all goodness, we thank you for the word made flesh among us, for the birth of Jesus Christ our Lord, for his coming as the least among the least, in poverty among the poor. In vulnerability and need, you have placed your love at our disposal, becoming for us a living hope in the midst of our powerlessness, challenging the proud and overcoming the powers that oppress and enslave us. With thanksgiving, we remember Mary's loving response to your purpose, Joseph's careful obedience to your will, and we remember all who have responded to grace by offering their lives to make incarnate the promise of your justice and to share in the fullness of your joy. For us and for all, for the ones who suffer and struggle and who long for freedom and peace, Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took bread and wine and shared them, saying, "This is my body, broken for all who are broken. And this is my blood, shed for all who bleed." So we celebrate Jesus' birth and give thanks for his life, his death on the cross, his resurrection and ascension. And we say together, with angels and choirs, with ordinary shepherds, with the wise ones, with all God's people, we lift our hearts in joyful praise. Touched by the Spirit in bread and wine, make us one body in Christ. In suffering and glory, together in him we will praise you and serve you in the world until the gift of Christmas is fulfilled for us and for all creation. Amen. So the bread we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. Because we all share in one bread. And this is the blood of Christ shed for us. So like those who look for the morning, so our souls wait for the Lord. Be known to us, Lord, in the breaking of the bread. Amen. So the bread and wine will now be shared. you're able to, why don't we stand? As we share in the bread and the wine, we make our offering to God, the offering of our lives, but we also remember that we offer our resources. And although we don't have an offering in our service now, we know that people do still give generously. So we pray for all the offerings that we give of our lives and our resources. And we eat this bread, the body of Christ. And we give thanks. Amen. And we take this wine, the blood of Christ, shed for us and for all people. Amen. So there'll be some words on the screen for us to say together. God, giver of joy, we thank you for meeting us here in the child born to save us. You have prepared us for our journey. The light of Christ, shining like a star, show us the way we should go and the ones we should serve. May our faces, lifted up in wonder and expectation, reflect the light for all who live in darkness. Amen. Amen. So Sharon and Paul will come and collect, remain standing. Sharon and Paul will come and collect your glasses. But Charlotte is going to teach us a new Christmas song to finish. Yep, so she's going to get the others. So if we can have the video will come up on the screen. There will be some actions. As always, we say, if you'd like to join in the actions, please do. If you prefer to just listen or to just try and sing along to the words, then you can do that too. But we're going to finish with a new Christmas song led by Charlotte.
There are people on the screen as well as myself doing the action, so let's give it a go.
All the angels sing.
It's loud up.
That Christ has come.
That Christ has come.
To a manger bear.
To a manger bear.
Mary laid in there. With shouts of praise, lift your voice with me, and sing, 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 sing.
Emmanuel, Emmanuel, God is with us. It's the true meaning of Christmas. Jesus has come and changed life forever.
Emmanuel, Emmanuel.
Jesus has come and changed.
No? Okay. Can't remember what it is. I haven't got it written down. Anyway, I think it was something like, at the heart of Christmas, may God bless us, change us, transform us, and give us peace. There you go. Anyway, God bless everyone. And if you, anyone can help Christine Watson with tea and coffee, she would be very grateful. Thank you. Amen.